Whatever the course of your life may be, if you do not guard your heart, the springs of life will always be blocked up for you. Because wherever you go, you are carrying this fountain of unhappiness in your own heart. Guard your heart, keep your heart, because from it, not from a change in your circumstances, flow the springs of life.
Welcome to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith, and today we continue a message we began last time, caring for your soul. And Colin, today we continue to look at what it means to guard your heart.
Yeah, we're in Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23, where we read, "Keep your heart with all vigilance, because from it flows the springs of life." Yeah. In other words, everything that comes from a person's life, the choices, the direction, it all comes from the condition of the heart. So you've got to guard the heart. That's the thing that really matters. And we got to the point last time of saying, well, now how are we to do that? Yeah. And the first thing to say there is watch. Remember, Jesus said, watch and pray. Well, the book of Proverbs is saying the same. You've got to guard your heart with all vigilance. You've got to be watchful, very, very careful. But that's only the beginning. That's where we start. There are five ways in which we can specifically watch our hearts and guard our hearts. And that's where we're focused today.
All right. So if you can, as you just heard Pastor Colin say, you can open up your Bible and join us in Proverbs chapter 4 as we continue the message, Caring for Your Soul.
What would a dashboard for your soul look like? What about a dashboard for your soul? There would be red lights and there would be green lights. Let me suggest to you some of the red lights that you might want to arrange on your dashboard to watch your soul. Fear would be one. Pride would be another. Greed would be a third. What about self-pity, or resentment, or cowardice, or anger? You could add to that hard thoughts about God. Here, I am a Christian believer, and God has blessed me in Christ in so many ways, but I'm finding creeping into my heart these thoughts that God is somehow not done right by me and owes me, and I've got these hard thoughts towards God, and they're creeping into the heart. Do you want to watch that? Coldness in worship. I remember times of coming and having such joy and love for Christ. And now I just feels like I'm going through a routine. And well, that's a change. That's something that needs to be watched. And I'm suggesting that you might like to include these things in the dashboard of your heart. Now, these are just a few suggestions that I'm giving to you for starters. They're ones that I have found to be very useful. But remember this, that God says to you, keep your heart. Keep your heart. So be a student of your own heart. Nobody can know the impulses that are most threatening to your heart better than you can. You have to be the world expert on your own heart, because nobody else can be. I can be learning much about my heart, but you need to be the person who is the world expert on your heart. And if you take some time to really think about it, you will be able to identify some of the characteristic red lights that ought to be on the dashboard of your heart. So take what I've suggested, include some or all of them, include others that you are aware of or danger areas in your own heart, ways in which there is this secret, perpetual, and alarming tendency towards a departure from God. How does that manifest itself in your heart? And put them on the dashboard. Don't be a stranger to your own heart. Calvin said on one occasion, nearly all the wisdom we possess comes in two parts. I love the simplicity of this. You want to be wise? Two things. One is the knowledge of God. The other is the knowledge of yourself. You get the knowledge of God by studying the Bible. You get the knowledge of yourself by studying your own heart in the light of the Bible. And there are many Christians who, being part of a small group, and hearing preaching on Sunday, are regularly used to learning about God from the Bible, but don't really have much familiarity at all with regards to what it really means to look at your own heart and to come to an honest evaluation of what's actually going on there. And the Word of God says to us, you've got to keep your heart, and you've got to do it with all vigilance. And just as those of you who are in business all the time are watching dashboards with trends, and the first thing you're looking for is, where's there any change? It's always what we look for on a dashboard. So it is with the dashboard of the heart. A.W. Pink puts it this way. For the Christian to keep his heart means for him to pay close attention to the direction in which his affections are moving, to discover whether the world is gaining a firmer and fuller hold over him or whether affection for the world is losing its charm for him. Remember, C.S. Lewis said in Screwtape Letters, one of the devil's great, great tactics is to make a man or a woman feel that they are making their way in the world when all the time it is the world that is making its way in them. So keep your heart with all vigilance. The power of sin is like a stone rolling down a hill. And at the top of the hill, when the stone's just beginning to roll over, it's actually not that difficult to be able to grab hold of it and to put it in its place. But if you let a stone go rolling down a hill for half a mile, it has gained so much momentum, so much speed, that you try and stand in its way, it kind of blow you apart. And to halt that thing is just so, so much more difficult. And this is why keeping your heart is of such huge importance. Friends, every time you come across a sad story of a Christian who has gone into complete, total, and utter moral collapse, you can be very sure that behind that story has been a long story of not keeping the heart. And what's happened is that the stone that in the heart began to roll some long time ago has gained more and more and more momentum, and in the end it just blew the guy away. Keep your heart with all vigilance, because from it flow the springs of life. So you got to watch, world expert on your own heart. Know what's going on there. Monitor what's changing very, very carefully. Second, and I'll move through these more quickly, investigate, investigate. So there's a little flicker on one of these red lights. Why? What's causing that? On one occasion, Paul spoke, writing to the Galatians, he asked this question. You were running well, he said to these Christian believers. Who hindered you? That's a very important question. And he doesn't give an answer, he just puts the question out there for them. This is the question you have to answer. Who hindered you? What was it that got in the way of your spiritual progress? You had a heart for God. You had a great joy in Christ. Your love for the Savior burned very, very brightly. At one point, you had great passion for the advance of the gospel. You made significant sacrifices. You had courage in the way that you stood for Christ. You battled with deeply set sins, and you made some significant progress. You grew in holiness. All these things were happening in you. Now, what has changed? What has got in the way? What have been the factors that have slowed you down? Investigate. Is there a person? Is it company? Is it a set of circumstances? What has happened? Where has the problem come? And when you ask these questions, you may say, I don't know. Well, if you don't know, ask God. Psalm 139, use this prayer. I'm seeing this change, Lord, in my heart. Now, search me and know my heart, and try me and know my thoughts. Help me to understand what's going on in this heart, because I need to guard it. I need to keep it, because from it flow the springs of life. I'm seeing a change here. I need to know what's behind it. How can you deal with the problem if you don't even know what it is or why it is there? These impulses that have the tendency towards secret, perpetual, and alarming departure from God.
You're listening to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith and a message called Caring for Your Soul. It's part of a larger series called Soul Care. And we're going to get back to this message in just a moment. Hope you'll stay with us. By the way, if you ever miss a broadcast, join us late, or you have to leave early, you can always come and listen online. Our website address is openthebible.org, and you can stream the program or download an MP3 for free. You can also find devotional material from Pastor Colin. You can check out our blog and a ton of other resources. Again, visit the website. It's openthebible.org. If you joined us late, we're in the book of Proverbs, chapter 4. Grab a Bible and meet us there. Let's get back to the message. Here is Pastor Colin.
How to keep your heart confess. Watch, investigate, confess. You know this verse so well. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So here's this marvelous promise that we love, but there is a condition, isn't there? There's an if. If we confess our sins. So how much of that are you doing? What was the last sin that you can remember particularly confessing to God? A.W. Pink says this, and see if you think this is a good and accurate description of the Christian world in our country today. Many talk about salvation, but few experience the joy of it. There is much of the form of godliness, but very little of its power. Oh, how rare it is to find any who know anything in their experience of the power that separates from the world, delivers from self, defends from Satan, makes sin to be hated, Christ to be loved, truth to be prized, and error and evil to be departed from. You see, what's missing is this honest heart work that is the business of the Christian life. Now, confession, of course, is first to God, but it will help you if you are able to talk honestly with a friend, someone who loves you and who knows you and who cares about you and about your spiritual life. I was doing this recently in a conversation with a few of our lay leaders. Seen some changes in my own heart. I don't like what I see. I listed several of these things. One of them is I see myself becoming less patient. And there's a red light that's flashing on the dashboard. That's one of them. And it needs to be addressed. And to identify it clearly has been helpful to me. I was talking with a friend the other week. He's in his early 70s and experiencing another of these passages of life in which things are changing, moving away from being at the center of a number of things and so forth, away from responsibilities that had been trusted and carried with joy before. And he said to me, Colin, I can see from here the path to becoming a grumpy old man. I can see it. I can see how guys become grumpy old men. I can see it. I can see it from here. Oh, and I'm so determined not to go down that path. I'm going to fight that with it. But I can see it. I can feel it. That world in which one ends up living, that nothing is as good as it would have been if I was doing it or when I was doing it, all the rest of it. And he said, I need to guard my heart. Guard your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life. I'm going to be a miserable old person. So watch, investigate, confess. And commit. Here's number four. As you arrange your dashboard, I hope some of you are really going to draw this on a bit of paper and keep it in a journal and use it, because we want to be doers of the Word of God, not only hearers of the Word of God. You might like to arrange under every red light that you identify that could be flashing a green light that would be its corresponding opposite. And it's very easy to pull together that list. You just go to Galatians in chapter 5 and verse 22, which of course is the fruit of the Spirit. And that will give you some great starters. Love and peace and joy and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. Green lights on the dashboard. What we want to be flashing much. And that's not an exhaustive list. I mean, there's others that you could add. Forgiveness would be one. Courage would be another. But even looking at the fruit of the Spirit will help you to identify other things that are the opposite that should be on the red light side of the dashboard. And thinking about the red light side of the dashboard will help you to see the opposites that should be on the green light side of the dashboard. All of you who are bringing up younger children know this, and those who remember it know it too, that whenever a child is moving in the direction of something that's going to be harmful, you know, the little fingers are going in the direction of an electric socket or something, the most helpful thing to do is to move the child's attention onto something else that's going to be better. And A.W. Pink, using that picture, says this: the best security for the soul against the allurements of Satan is to have it engaged with a lovelier and a more satisfying object. The heart that is filled and engaged with the good is the one that is best protected against the evil. So identify the green lights and commit to pursuing them. Lord, by your grace, I renounce this impatience, or whatever else is the red light or the red lights that you're needing to address at any particular time. I want nothing more to do with it. Lord, by your grace, help me now to grow in the patience that I need. Guard this heart from the enemy within, so that, dear Lord, the very circumstances that caused the red light to flash would be the circumstances in which the green light will become fully lit. So that's the triumph of the gospel. That the very circumstances that promoted the impatience, or whatever it is, should become, by God's grace, the circumstances that light the green light of the fruit of the Spirit, patience in the soul. Lord, that's what I want. And that doesn't come by a change of circumstances. That comes by a change in the heart. I got to keep my heart with all vigilance, because from it flow the springs of life. And that takes me to the last one, which is simply trust. Which is trust. Now, we've talked here about this very important spiritual exercise of looking at your own heart. The Bible says, let a man examine himself. Let a woman examine herself. Keep your heart. With all vigilance, watch, investigate, confess, commit. But here's the reality. When godly people look at their own hearts, we find it very, very discouraging. Because what we find is what Octavius Lee Winslow said, that after all of the goodness of God and after all of our Christian experience and all these years of serving Him, it is astonishing to look into one's own heart and still to find there a principle, the tendency of which is to secret, perpetual, and alarming departure from God. And you say, how in the world, after all of God's abundant goodness, can that still be? And I think that that's one reason why a lot of Christians don't actually ever look at their own heart, because they think that's just going to be so discouraging. It's a mess. It's like a room that's completely chaotic. Just close the door on it. I don't even want to look. But God says you have to look, because you have to guard your own heart. So what are you going to do, and how are you going to be protected against the overwhelming sense of discouragement that will be Satan's tactic when you begin to look seriously at your own heart? And one of my great heroes, Robert Murray McShane, has the answer to that, and he says it so beautifully. For every look at self, he says, take 10 looks at Christ. You love that? I have this in my memory, but I'd misremembered it. I'm Googling it, and I thought he said, for every look at yourself, take 2 looks at Jesus Christ. So I'm Googling this, and I find, oh, I can't find it, because what he really said is, for every look at yourself, take, say it with me, 10 looks at Jesus Christ. That's about the right proportion. I look at my own heart, and I say, it's so alarming. And I look up to Jesus Christ and I say, this is precisely why the fountain for cleansing was opened. And the power of the cleansing blood of Jesus Christ is greater than all of the impulses that exist within the human heart throughout this life. I will depend upon the cleansing of Jesus until the moment that I enter into heaven. And as I look up to Christ, I'm reminded not only of the power of his cleansing blood, but as we saw last time, the power of his risen life. So that faith and love and all the green lights that are the fruit of the Spirit, how are they sustained? Not by their own power, but by a communication of life and of nourishment and of refreshment and of strength that comes right from the throne of God, that comes from Jesus Christ himself. So I'm able to say, Lord Jesus, as I see what's in this heart, I see the need. Lord, by your mercy, apply the cleansing of the blood of Christ in this area at this time. And now by the power of your gracious Holy Spirit, give to me in this area in which the front of the battle in my heart is now being waged, give to me that renewal of strength, that renewal of nourishment, that renewal of all that flows from you, so that coming from you, the springs of life may not only come to my heart, but spring from that heart by your grace.
You're listening to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith and a message called Caring for Your Soul. Today, really looking at how to keep your heart, where to watch, investigate, confess, commit, and trust. And if you want to go back and listen to this broadcast again, a few different ways you can do that. You can come to our website. It's openthebible.org, and you can stream the program or download an MP3 for free. You can also listen if you have the Open the Bible app. That's free. And you're going to find it at your favorite app store, or we'll link you to it through our website. Again, that is openthebible.org. But whether you listen to this program on the radio, online, or through the app, it is all made possible through your generosity. So thank you for giving and supporting this ministry. And as you give a gift of any amount this month, we want to send you a book called Checkbook of the Bank of Faith. And a lot of books you may sit down and read cover to cover, but Colin, this book is more of a daily devotional, isn't it?
It is a daily devotional by C.H. Spurgeon, one of my favorite authors. And every day he gives us one promise from the Bible and just typically 3 paragraphs that you can read about that promise. I would say it would take most people about 1 minute to read this devotional for the day. I find it to be wonderfully, wonderfully rich because it's God's promises being applied to our lives. And the publishers, Christian Focus, have done a marvelous job with this edition of what really is a Christian classic. Because it's called Checkbook of the Bank of Faith, they've produced it in a way that actually looks and feels just like your checkbook. So you can slip it in a pocket, you could put it in a bag, you can leave it by your nightstand, you can carry it around anywhere, and you have a promise from God for every day. I find this so nourishing, and I think our folks are going to love it.
Well, we'd love to send you a copy of Checkbook of the Bank of Faith as our way of saying thank you for your financial support this month. You can find out more or give online at openthebible.org. or call us at 877-673-6365. That might be easier to remember as 877-OPEN-365. Or again, our website is openthebible.org. Well, thanks for listening today. For Pastor Colin Smith, I'm Steve Hiller, and I hope you'll join us next time. This program is a listener-supported production of Open the Bible. If you have the idea that believing in the Christian faith is about believing in Jesus from a distance, discover what he says about this next time on Open the Bible.